Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the ghostly guests at the Rhodes Hotel. Then after the hotel, you know, it goes through that era, then they at some point turned it into apartments and then eventually sold it. Did it sit empty for quite a while?
Yeah, it was empty for a number of years that it was empty. And there was, we found some things that someone had purchased it, worked on the building a little bit. And like there was talks of opening some kind of a restaurant or something here. And that didn't happen from what we found. And eventually, like a couple owners or so back realized how haunted the place is. Then, you know, then like paranormal investigations kind of started off here to kind of help, I guess, you know, take care of the property and work on it, stuff like that. And we just kind of carried all that on once we took over.
Well, and when you think about it, you know, a town that size, a hotel this big, even if you were to turn it into apartments, could you keep it rented? There, you know, what exactly would you do with that other than what you're doing with it, which I think is great?
I still don't know exactly. I mean, obviously with apartments, I mean, from what we understood, the bathrooms, everyone just kind of shared and they just people just, I guess, rented a certain room or whatever in the building. But yeah, now, I mean, the only thing we're doing, we still get people. My sister will call me every now and then and she'll just be like, yeah, somebody called and just like, well, I want to rent a hotel room for the night. It's like, we don't really do that anymore.
And do you really want to rent a room here? Just telling you. You'll be asking for your money back. Now, at what point when you started there, when you took it over, did you know already? I mean, I'm sure its reputation preceded it. You knew there was, you know, reports of hauntings. Mm-hmm. But you're also one of those people, like most of us, who are going to try to debunk things before we just dive right in and everything's paranormal. Did you have some experiences that you were like, okay, that's what I'm dealing with here? There is something here. Was it pretty apparent right away to you?
Yeah, the thing with this place was having the charity at that time, the previous owner that had it, allowed me to come up and do charity events once in a while. So I was already familiar with the place and knew that it was haunted. There was one time that I think I did an event here, and Gail, like the owned it at the time, she was just like, there's nobody going to be there, but if you want to stay, you can just stay there. It'll just be you, but then you can just lock up and leave the key somewhere and I'll get it later. So I was like, okay, that's cool, you know, so I don't have to drive home. And about halfway through the night, and it's like probably talking like, you know, three or four in the morning or something, I hear it sounds like boots like coming up the stairs, and I wake up and I'm in the room. It's at the top of the stairs. You get the top of the stairs, there's room on the right. And I wake up and I'm like, sounds like somebody's coming up the stairs. And I'm like, yeah, pretty sure it is. So I stopped and I was just like, hey, coming up. That's cool. No problem. Just don't scare the crap out of me. We're good. And it just stopped. I didn't hear anything else.
Because when you wake up in the middle of the night like that, it's one of two things. It's an intruder or it's some sort of haunting. And neither one of those things are great in the middle of the night. It's not like you go, oh, that's all it was. An intruder. I'm just going to fall back to sleep.
Yeah. And then my thing is I don't like to be startled. So
yeah.
I don't want to like get up to go see something, you know, see what, oh, there's, I hear footsteps and go to the door and then peek around the corner and there's like something right there in my face. Yeah, I don't like that.
But you do live on the property.
I do.
So has that been something that you've just kind of gotten used to? I don't know if you can get used to it. Is it something where you live isn't as much activity as maybe the main house?
There is activity back here, probably not as much, but I think the best thing to compare it sometimes is like, you know, how you move in and maybe like the neighbor might have a dog in the backyard that's outside or something. And then, like, you know, you hear the dog barking, and then after a while you tune it out because you get used to it. You know, I think that's probably over time. That's kind of what happened to me, because, you know, I have odd times. Like one time I was playing, games online, and I had a friend that had just got online, didn't have a headset. So I called them, and we were using the phones, like, and I put it on speakerphone, so that way we can communicate while we're playing a game online. So we're playing a game, and I think somebody was knocking at the door or something. So I'm like, oh, hang on. I got to go answer the door, see what's going on. And I get up, take off, and then I come back, and they're like, who's there? And I'm like, nobody. Like, somebody just knocking, and, you know, there's nobody here. And they're like, yeah, there is. And I'm like, no, there's not. And they're like, I heard a woman's voice in the background. I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
And yeah, they swear to me they heard a woman say something, like, yeah, like over the phone, like when they were, yeah, well, I wasn't even in the room. And I'm like, I assure you, I'm the only person here. But they're like, well, I heard a woman.
Well, it is a haunted hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your analogy about the dogs is a good one. And it can work two ways. There's the dog in the neighborhood that you can eventually tune out. Then there's the other one that won't let you tune out. It's like you just lay there and go, will it ever stop? And and so I imagine there's both of those kind of dogs, and I'm using air quotes, kind of dogs in the house.
True. Yeah, there are times that, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, something will kind of catch me. Like, I was sitting back here one night, and again, you know, coming into my room is the back door of the hotel. I'm sitting here watching TV in this room one night. Out of the corner of my eyes, I see a shadow, like a person walk through the doorway into my room, which, of course, would have been outside, walking outside at that time. But I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm like looking over, like, I saw somebody walk through in maybe about 5 feet, and then he just disappeared. But yeah, it was really odd. But sometimes that happens. Things like that happens back here. Different things that I have back here as well that happens. But yeah, it can be interesting.
And when you think about that particular building, the history of it, mm-hmm. you've got Clara and her husband, Newton, who died in the home. Everett died in the home. Maybe Sarah died in the home. But it was also very active as a hotel, a lot of people in and out. Mm-hmm. As a speakeasy slash brothel, a lot of people in and out. So you just think about the history of the place, and there just has to be, I would think, a lot of unexplained activity there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of different energies, I mean, going in and out of the building and stuff, I mean, over the years and stuff, so.
Do you find that it changes? Because I've talked to people who have, they used to be apartments, it was a hotel, it was a hospital, it was, you know, it was the same sort of thing, people coming in and out throughout its history, that they kind of see or feel that now the energies do change. It's not the same energy in the house all the time. One day you can walk in and it's very oppressive. Another day it feels much lighter.
Yeah.
Is it like that at the Rhodes Hotel?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've never had a bad feeling, you know, like nothing bad, you know, there's like no bad things here, but we think that there's mischievous type stuff goes on here from time to time. And yeah, I mean, you pick up different, you know, different things. And yeah, and there's times that I'll go out and I can just be in here all the time. I can just tell, like, you just kind of feel it. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's going to be an active night tonight. And then there's times I go out there and there's nothing on TV at night, can't sleep. I'll go out there and just sit sometimes in the dark and just pick a room and just watch and listen.
Oh, man.
Sometimes
that kind of gave me the goosebumps thinking about doing that.
I mean, you know, and occasionally you might hear, like, you know, the boards creaking or something upstairs, like it sounds like somebody walking, and I'm just like, I'm good, I think I'll go back to my room.
Well, and I think it was Robin, Terry, in the episode that we did, said that somebody had, you know, over the years they'd broken in. I'm sure they did it at the Rhodes Hotel too, people breaking in and investigating and looking around because it's the local haunted place. And I think it was Robin who said that somebody had painted on the wall something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was these walls can talk if you listen.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times you have to be still and not behind all of the investigative tools and equipment, you know, not listening to spirit boxes or something, but listening to the actual place. I would think you've heard some things and experienced some things that were probably pretty interesting while you're sitting.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, another thing about living on the property, like being at the location, you know, the majority of the time is that it kind of helps. I mean, you know, the last thing you always hate to like, oh, this is what I think it was, you know, to somebody if they think they've gotten some good evidence of something. But, you know, it's being on the property so much, you kind of know what the normal sounds and, you know, the normal little noises and stuff that you're going to hear in an old 130-year-old building. And you can kind of explain some of these things, but then there's times too that, you know, somebody gets something or it's like, yeah, I don't know. Can't tell you. I have no idea.
Yeah, that one, that's just a regular old creaking. The house is settling. That, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I mean, there's times that friends will be here something or whatever, and they'll be like, did you hear that? And I'm like, oh yeah, it was just this.
Because I think everyone's house has a certain amount of noise that it makes. Mm-hmm. That once in a while it kind of creaks or does something, especially when they're that old.
Yeah.
Do you feel that Newton and Clara are still there?
Yes, I do. And we've had different things that people, you know, I've had people like just sometimes people come in and they don't want to know anything about the place at all, not want to have any influence or anything like that. And I've had times to where like, oh yeah, we've gotten the name Clara and, you know, or Newton or something. And like, you know, they'll mention names and I'm just like, you know, like, does that sound familiar? And I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds definitely, yeah, that's very familiar.
And I could see why if you're investigating, not having all of the information would be good.
Yeah.
You know, but I also think having some of it is also good.
But, yeah, I'm one of those that like to have some of it, at least.
Because for you living on the property, I would think they would like you a lot because you're taking care of what they built. You know, they cared for this place. They put everything they had into it, I'm sure. And to know that it's still there for them, I would think they'd be very appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like I said, I'm here nearly all the time. And then, you know, my parents and my sister are here quite often, you know, and just doing different repairs or whatever, just doing things that need to be done here and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, I would like to think that that they probably enjoy me being here all the time, you know, kind of protecting the place and, you know, my family and my sister protecting the place and also coming up and, you know, doing things to improve the place, you know, as we're able to do that.
Now there's one room in there that I wanted to ask you about. I saw pictures of it. I'm kind of creeped out by old dolls. I don't want any of them in my house. And just looking at the pictures, I kind of got the chills. Because there's one room that has quite a few old dolls in there. How did that end up happening? Did you find a doll on site, then bring a few more in? And sometimes people, you know, they think there's a child spirit someplace, so they bring in things for the spirit. So I didn't know if it was maybe some of that going on, but what's the deal with the doll room?
A previous owner actually had most of the dolls. Like, actually, there were more dolls than what's here now. That was actually here beforehand. But then like a lot of them were taken out before we took over, but then there's a number of the ones like it's up there now that were left. Yeah, there's a few of them that people swear have attachments or something going on with them. And there's one that I kind of believe them because I had something happen. And there's one of those dolls that I believe it. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things like I wouldn't believe if somebody told me, I'd been like, really? You know, in the back of my mind, I'd be like, seriously, you know, but yeah, actually being there to witness something, I was just like, all right, that's the oddest thing.
What happened?
There at that time in that room, of course, you know, there's two twin size beds, and the head of the beds was over by the window, and then the foot of the bed was over by the door where you would go in. And, you know, the beds had that section in between them, you know, where you can walk in between the beds. But closer to the door, there was like a little school desk sitting there. And one of the dolls was standing in the seat part, leaned up against, you know, the back of the chair. And I'm one of those that, like, if I'm investigating with people up there, I will sit in the doorway so I can observe what's going on in the room. And, but yet I can pay attention to, you know, each direction down the hallway and, you know, kind of, yeah. So I can kind of watch all around. So they're asking questions and, you know, like they had a recorder out, whatever. And they were asking questions. I don't remember exactly what they asked, but I was sitting there and this doll's right in front of me. I literally, nobody was walking, so there was no vibrations that could have triggered anything. Like at the time, I can't explain it still to this day, but it literally bounced up in the air and almost like it just jumped off the chair, like off the desk. It was really odd. I mean, but it literally just, like it just popped in the air and boom, and landed in the floor, scared the crap out of everybody else. Didn't do a whole lot for me either, because I was like, I saw it happen. I was like, I don't know how that happened.
To have it move that way, it's like someone would have had to move the chair or lift the chair.
Yeah,
it makes no sense that just the doll would do that.
But you know, if someone had been walking down the hallway or if somebody got up to move in the room, I would have been like, oh, the vibrations, and they just bounced off or whatever like that. But there was nothing like that going on. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
So after that experience, you got to be kind of creeped out every time you walk in there. Look at that doll. What's it going to do? It's watching me.
Yeah,
it's watching me.
I do kind of feel like that sometimes. I'm like, is it watching me? What's going on? You know, but yeah, I don't spend a whole lot of time in that room.
Because those old dolls do have a way of you feel like no matter where you're in the room, they're watching you. It's weird.
Yeah.
That's why I guess I don't really like them. And if that would have happened to me, that would be the end of any doll relationship. I would be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't ever go in there again.
Yeah, and I mean, with me, you know, I think I've watched too many Chucky movies, you know, Child's Play movies and stuff. And so, yeah, the whole thing just, I don't know.
And having that experience happen to you. Have you had, after people have done an investigation, because this, I mean, there's been lots of investigations done over the years. Have you had a couple stories that people came and told you something had happened to them that really stood out to you or seemed unusual or kind of like, wow, I can't believe that happened?
Yeah, there was one time that, see if I can kind of get this straight, like on exactly what it was, if I can remember, because this has been a while back. But there, at that time on the side door going outside, I had a camera that was kind of angled out. Now there's a video doorbell, but that camera was going out, and there was a 2022 Tucson SUV, but it was just out of camera. And of course, that's the way it always works, right? But anyway, the group was here. The lady that owned the vehicle, her key fob, like, was triggering the car to go off. So she shuts it off. It does it again, shuts it off. She sets the key fob like on a table because she thinks it's bumping maybe something in the backpack. If I remember right, that's how it was. And it kept going off. Goes off like 5 or 6 times. Finally, some of them go outside, walk around it, don't see anything going on, come back in. She ends up looking at her phone, and it was saying rear occupancy detected in the back seat of her car. You know, they go back out and they look around. Nobody in the back seat. We're talking, and you know, I'm trying to think logically. I'm like, did anything fall off the back down on the seat and just right. trigger, you know, the sensors or anything? But I guess there wasn't anything on the seat. I didn't know. I had no idea. Like, I was just like, I don't know. You know, but I mean, I saw the phone and it said rear occupancy detected, you know, like 5 or 6 times right down the phone screen. And then, you know, like logically thinking, I'm just like, maybe call the dealership tomorrow and see if there's like some kind of recall maybe on the sensors or if there's something, you know what I mean? Right. Something that would explain what's going off. And she was like, oh, I've had it for like a year. And the only time that I believe she said the only time that it went off is when she had her dog in the back seat and then she forgot something inside, ran in real quick, come back out. The dog triggered it because the dog was moving around when she went inside. Like, that's the only time it ever happened. And that's the only time that's ever happened. The 6.5 years, that's the only time I've ever had anybody say they've had something like that happen. It was
just
odd,
though. Which is interesting because it's outside in her vehicle. But I would also be like, well, here I am inside this haunted hotel. We're investigating. Yeah. And then this is happening in my car. Never happened before. Never happened again. I don't know. You think about where you're at. I think I would have to go, there's something happening here that we can't see.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, sometimes you have things like that. It's just like, that's a first.
And is it pretty common, though, to hear the footsteps? And I'm sure you can hear voices and people talking in the hotel.
Yeah, it is pretty common. That's some of the things that people experience here. I can't tell you the times that people spend the night. They get up the next morning and they're just like, yeah, you know, we're in bed. Everybody, the whole group is in the rooms and we hear footsteps in the hallways and stuff, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I've had that too. voices, and I mean, and with myself, every time I hear them, it's like, you know how maybe it's muffled, you know how it might sound like if somebody closes the door and there's trying to kind of keep quiet on the other side of the door, talking back and forth or something. It's always muffled. I can't tell what's being said or anything.
Yeah, I've had that happen in my life where I've heard, I know there's nobody there and I'm hearing the talking, but I can't tell you anything they're saying. But it's like you can hear it. So you rent it out year round, correct? You do have heat. And,
we do.
Which is nice because, you know, especially going into winter months, because we're recording this in November, a lot of these old buildings don't have that and they close down. So you could, you can go year round there.
Yeah, we could do year round here, and so yeah, we're going full speed still.
And I saw on your Facebook page that you've opened up dates for next year, 2024, depending on when people are listening to this, because they kind of podcasts kind of live forever.
Yep.
But you book quite a ways in advance, and I'm going to guess the weekends go fast.
They do, yeah. The weekends are the first ones, especially Saturdays are the first ones that usually book. But, I mean, we still get people that, you know, they book during the week. But, yeah, Saturday seems like the first ones to go, and then Fridays and Sundays kind of follow after that. And then, of course, you know, we get the occasional weekdays and stuff here and there.
And you can book online at the website?
You can, yeah. People can go to www.roadshotel.com.
And that's just R-O-A-D-S, roadshotel.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And check out their Facebook page. Just search Rhodes Hotel. But I'm so glad that you're there and you're keeping that building going. And, you know, you just think a town that size, you know, you drive through any small town and they've got these these houses and buildings that at one time were just fantastic, and then the town's economy collapses at some point. You know, living in Kansas, there's towns like that all over, and it's just a shame. You see, like, it's just sitting there empty, and the longer it sits there, it's never going to come back. And so this, I love that, what you've done with this. Do you ever do any kind of daytime thing? So if somebody like me is kind of wussy and not really wanting to spend an evening doing paranormal investigations, but I'd like to tour it and look around, do you ever do that sort of thing?
Yeah, we have a number of times that we've had people do daytime investigations here. You know, and if you think about it, daytime investigations are great. And Robert even says this, you know, about Ashmore and stuff too. But, you know, I mean, if you think about this place, it was a hotel at one time, you know, and even though, like, the speakeasy and brothel stuff, I mean, there was stuff going on during the day. So, I mean, there's probably more activity during the day, like, you know, when a hotel's going on, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's, there's times that I think it's more active during the day than it is at night. You know, it just, it flip flops sometimes, and sometimes it's active both during the day and at night.
I think a lot of times at night, since the world is so still and you might just be laying in bed trying to sleep, it's easy to hear things. But during the day, a lot of times we're very active and busy and working and cleaning and doing all these things that you don't always experience the paranormal because you're not in, you're not quiet enough. Well, this has been a great conversation. I was really looking forward to, especially once I found out about the brothel speakeasy part. I was like, Clara. You know, girls got to make some money. I did not see that coming in the history of the Rhodes Hotel. And that wraps up our conversation about the Rhodes Hotel in Atlanta, Indiana. If you'd like more information on the hotel, as well as paranormal investigations, visit their website at rhodeshotel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, and get everything without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.